diligently seek Him. Faith. I was thinking of a roadmap, the roadmap to heaven. And as far as I'm concerned, there's no one that can make a better picture and draw a more beautiful map of the road to heaven than your pastor, Dr. Scott. He's one of the greatest teachers on faith. All along the road, all of his sermons, faith, faith, faith in Jesus. Jesus said in his ministry, "Whosoever believeth on him that sent me hath eternal life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." That's all he has heard. That's what Jesus said. Simply, have faith in God. Have faith in God and believe that God so loved you that He gave His Son for you. That's all there is to it. And keep that roadmap ever before you, the walk of faith. And please God by your walk of faith. Faith is the victory. Faith helps us overcome many of the things and the problems of life. And when God called me to preach, when Gene was a very small child, when he was 2 years old, he had a very bad sick spell. He had a high fever and went into a convulsion. And that scared me. I had never seen anything like that before. And my wife and I was all wrapped up in our beautiful little curly-headed jewel that God had given us. We had belonged to a church for a few years. We had both given our lives to the Lord, and I had felt that that's always necessary, that I go to church and pay my tithes and just be kind of a faithful church member. And then I didn't know that God was leading otherwise, and He had His hand upon me. I don't know whether He allowed the sickness to come upon our little baby that was 2 years old then or not. But anyway, it shook me. We lived 7 miles out of town, and I was so frightened that the neighbors gathered around the little neighborhood where we were, and they didn't know what to do. Some asking us to take him to the hospital, and I was so frightened and sitting there holding him. He was just getting worse. I thought was dying. And I sent for a doctor, and my wife sent for the pastor of the church that we attended. And about 40 minutes, the word came to me that the doctor wouldn't come because he was too far out in the country. Excuse me. And that frightened me because I kind of depended on the doctor to come and help us in this terrible need. And I said, I just felt that was about the last of my son. And just a few minutes, the pastor and his wife, Pastor Otis Triplett, pastor of the church where we attended, he came in, he came out, he and his wife came out up to the few people that were gathered around. And I was sitting in the middle of the room, holding Gene on my arms. And they walked up and they said nothing to nobody. They saw the need, and they laid the hands on Gene and prayed. And I was, of course, all broken up. And all at once, he said, he just raised up, just like he came to, his fever went down like that. He raised up my arm and said, "Daddy, I want a drink." And he got down and played started to play around with, and I made a commitment that day to my Jesus that I was going to give myself completely to His work and His service. I made that commitment, and I sought the Lord until He filled me with the Spirit. And He so baptized me with the Spirit that I had such a desire to preach the Word of God. I felt the call of God. We worked in the church a couple of years. I helped the pastor. I helped every evangelist I could. I helped them in the baptismal services. And finally, when Gene was 5 years old, we made a trip to Missouri. This was when that Gene witnessed that I'm about the boy that started to throw his knife at me when I was preaching. And my nephew got between us and he took care of the guy that threatened me with a knife. But I was preaching, and young people was so responding to my wife and I as we helped short revival meetings, youth revival meetings in the state of Missouri, and then back in California. And we preached, and I continued to attend the church, finally elected the deacon in the church, and finally I had a meeting in Live Oak. We preached a couple of weeks in Live Oak, California, and I got my job of work, and I drove from home to Live Oak, back about 20 miles, and then I waited a little while, and we had a meeting in 36. Last meeting we had in 35 was in Gridley, California. And I had a good job of work. The devil can look out for you and give you what you know that you kind of want if it will get you away from the call of God. And so I got a good job, and I was preaching, driving back and forth to Gridley. This was about 17 miles from where we lived. And I was working every day and going preaching revival every night. They called me the Missourian evangelist. And I had beautiful meetings, beautiful crowds in those youth meetings. And I was so enjoying, my wife and I so enjoyed the meetings every night. But through the day, I was working, had a good job, and I would meditate. I would think, well, I bought me home. We bought a nice little home there in the town, and I got it with hardly no down payments. So I had a good job, and I said, I began to say it to myself. I talked to myself. I said, I've got a good job. I've got a nice little boy and nice family, and I've got a home now. I think that I just said this to myself. I think that I'll just quit preaching after this revival's over. I think I'll quit and just supply as best I can to the other preachers, pay tithe to other preachers so they can preach the gospel, and I'll just stay home and work and take care of my family. And while I was thinking, and while I was working, a little noise going on about me, the old song came to my, the Holy Spirit must have brought a song to my remembrance. Covet not this world's vain riches that so rapidly decay. Seek to gain the heavenly treasures that will never pass away. Hold to God's unchanging hands. And I didn't listen to that. I should have listened to what the Holy Spirit trying to tell me. But I kept on thinking, no, this is going easy. This is kind of easy for me. Kind of hard work to preach and work too. So I'll just work and let the other preachers do it. That's the way I felt. And that's the way that God saw it. And that desire of preaching the gospel kind of left me, and I went ahead and enjoyed my job just for a few days. So I went home one night from work, and I felt that day an aching in my legs, and I couldn't understand what that meant. And went home, had supper with my wife and Jean, and about 9 o'clock that night, a terrible pain hit me just from my back down, and my legs were paralyzed. And I tried to move. I got my, took a chair, and I just drug around by a chair in the room and tried to get the feeling back in my leg, movement. The pain was in my leg, but there was no, I couldn't move. And all night long, the next day, my wife's dad came over, and he got us to, he actually carried me out through the car and took us to their home. And I, after he got to his home, my wife called a pastor that had prayed for Gene a few years before, and he came out and prayed for me. And as he prayed, I began to weep, and I knew that something was terrible wrong. And I said, "Jesus, have mercy on me." And all at once, I saw the vision of Christ who came into the room and close to my bed, and he looked at me with a compassionate, tender look in his eyes. I can see him just like I look at you. And then he just vanished away. And I said to the pastor, I said, "Jesus come close to me, but he didn't touch me. He didn't touch me." And I got worse and worse and worse. It went up the left side, pain never stopped. My legs were unable to move them. My left arm unable to move. And pain never stopped, day and night. I started to vomit, and I began to throw up. And I got worse and worse. Days and days went by. Suffering that never let up, day and night, they sat up with me. Turned me in the bed with a sheet. Went down, I finally lost weight down to 125 pounds. I weighed 180 pounds then, when I took sick. Just a few weeks, I was down to 125 pounds. And all it was, I got my right arm, and I couldn't move. I couldn't move my hands, I couldn't, all I could do was just kind of look at the people, and I was still conscious. And finally, people come pray and move on. Preachers come by and pray. And I heard one say, I could remember hearing one say, "Well, it won't be long till be the goodbye to Brother Scott." But they was praying, must have been praying without faith, John. So they kept coming and going. And finally, the last place that it hit me was in the back of my neck. And I just went out like a light. And now the good part of it. I went direct to that city. Now Paul said, "I will come to you in vision and revelation of the Lord. I knew a man about 14 years ago," he said. "Whether in the body or out of body, I do not know. God knoweth. Such a man was caught up," he said. And this happened when Paul was stoned. When the men of Lystra came and stoned Paul, drug him out of the city, and stoned him and left him for dead. They left. And while the disciples were standing around, Paul rose up. That's why Paul could tell this story of this vision. "I knew a man about 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of body, I do not know. God knoweth. Such a man caught up." Now I know a man about 50 years ago, whether in the body or out of body, I do not know. God knoweth. But this man, me, was caught up to heaven and inside the city. And I walked inside the gates, lit up city, and was I healthy and well. Nothing was wrong with me. And I kind of had a memory that I had been awfully sick, but now it was all over. Oh, Jesus, and I saw Jesus this time, the second time. I saw him when I first called the pastor to pray for me in the vision. Now he stands right in front of me inside the city. And I said, oh, Jesus, oh, it's so good to be here. I'm glad my suffering is over, my sickness is over, I'm well, and what beautiful lights, and what a beautiful city. And I could see as far as I could see. Back was a saints of God robed in white. Seemed like it was a praise service and glory. And I saw my mother way back in the congregation, and she seemed to see me come in at the gate. And she was waving to me, come on in, son, come on in. And I said, oh, this is beautiful. I wish my wife and my son Gene were here. What about them? Just that quick, the vision of the city and of the saints of God robed in white left me. But I didn't come back to my body where I was in the body, out of the body, I don't know. Anyway, I had another vision. After this was closed of the city, I was carried to see along the Broadway. And I viewed this terrible, wide Broadway. And it was full of people. But they was all going one way. There wasn't anyone going back the other way. They was all going one way. And I viewed along, and finally I saw this, because I had preached from this text a year or two before in the book of Matthew, the 7th chapter, the Sermon on the Mount by Jesus. He said, enter in at the straight gate. And I saw this big sign along this Broadway as I passed by, and I wondered why the people didn't look at it. And I looked at it as it went by. It says, enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. For straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. And I said, Jesus, why don't these people look at that and pay attention to that sign? And I went on viewing this great Broadway with a mass of people going. Now when I think of it, I can't hardly keep from breaking down and crying, because it was a terrible scene for me. I go to the end of the Broadway in this vision, and I stop. And right at the end of the Broadway, it just went into eternal darkness. It's just gates of darkness. That's out of light into darkness. And I saw people going in, just going in. As they got to the end, they were just going in. They seemed to be demons. Now this, I hope you understand me, this is what I saw. I saw demons at the gates, chained there. And they was helping the people in, just quickly they got so close that they was helping them into that eternal darkness. And I began to pray, oh Lord, save these people from this awful place. They're lost. They're lost. Jesus, save. Save these people. And I cried. I started to cry. And I began to pray and cry and weep before God in this terrible condition because I'd been awfully sick. And as I prayed a while, this scene, this vision left, and I saw myself walking along back in this planet, walking along a narrow trail, just I could see myself now. I was back up to 180 pounds again, walking along well. And here I was. I was aware that I was in the arms of Jesus, and I was unable to move. And I was, Jesus, I said, there I go. I watched myself as I walked along just like I was on a screen, just walking along with the Bible and looked healthy and well. And I was aware I'd been awfully sick and unable to move. And I said, there I go, Jesus, I'm well. And he said, now I heard these words. He said these words to me, preach my word, I will heal you. And this is when Gene saw his dad rise up. You know, I lifted my arms like I woke up out of the coma, whatever. I woke up. Here I was. I had not been able to lift my arms all these weeks. And I lifted my arms and I said to his mother, I'll be preaching in a few days, I said, I'll be preaching again. And that my first commitment didn't hold so good. But I want to tell you, my commitment that I made to Jesus when he raised me from the deathbed has held good for about 50 years. I knew a man, I say it was Paul, and Paul said to concerning his testimony to King Agrippa, O King, I have not been disobedient to that heavenly vision. And I have not been disobedient to that heavenly vision that Jesus gave me. It has been worth it all. I'd hate to go through something like that again. But remember this, if God wants you and calls you, you should be thankful that he won't let you go. I'm going to ask you to do something for me. I'm going to stop there. I left out some of the things maybe that I could have said, but it was some experience, and I'm sure that most everyone that in this building believe in divine healing. There is a greater power that controls our lives, and commit your life to him and have faith. Talking about the highway to heaven, this highway has a good map, the Bible. My son, one of the best teachers on this map that I know of. You don't need a map to go to hell. That wide road will take you right there, and all you have to do is just keep on it and you'll soon be there. But you don't have to have a map for that. But you do have to go according to God's word and be obedient to faith. Be obedient to faith. Now I want John to sing the song, and while he sings, stay here. My wife and I will slip out the back, but stay till he gets through his song. Fill my cup. It's early now. I'm letting you out early. See, Gene keeps you longer than this, but he's going to fill my cup. Yes, yeah, sir. Yeah. I believe the promise. That's something like that, isn't it? Yes, yeah. Okay. Now stay with John while he sings his song. Thank you for listening to me. I hope I've blessed you.
Thank you.